Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Hey everybody, this is Matthew Soltysiak and you're listening to Not the Same Old Lions podcast. Using my sportscasting background, I speak with a variety of guests and interview key players to gain more insight on what makes this team go. As the Detroit Lions enter a new gritty era, we'll look beyond just the kneecaps when it comes to the analysis. Welcome to another episode. In this episode, we finish up the two-pointer discussion, preview the Minnesota Vikings Week 18 matchup back at Ford Field. We look at the bigger picture as well as any major storylines. Let's get to it, Lions fans.
This is Detroit Lions 2023 Fan of the Year, Robert Gonzalez, and you're listening to Not the Same Old Lions podcast.
In this episode, I'm joined by Coach Jerry Angers, named Michigan High School Coach of the Year, as well as Coach of the Week by the Detroit Lions. He's also mentored numerous players to the college level and some all the way to the NFL. Great to have you here as usual, Coach.
Oh, great to be here, Matt.
Happy New Year. And Coach, let's start by a quick return to the two-point conversion in Dallas. Now, I've got something I want to share, and I want to know your perspective. You're a coach. You've coached many games. You've gone for two-point conversions. Are there any thoughts on this whole situation now that we've heard a lot of information come out?
I mean, there's, you know, when you establish something with your team going into a game, you know, I think I told you about, you know, we were going to in the state championship final. We're down 7-0. We're playing a team that we can't score on. We're playing a team that we're stopping. And, you know, if we go down there and score in the last 3 minutes, I had a fake field goal or fake extra point that we were going to run. And I told the kids, you know, you guys score here, we're running this play. And I think it's, there's so many different things that come into play in this situation. Do we go for it? Do we go for the tie? Do we want to go to overtime? Oh my God, this is it. You know, we've already won the division. Dan Campbell's already told his guys, I trust that you're going to make this. We have worked on this play. We're going to use this play. And it's also for the big picture. Mine was to finish a game and end as state champs or end in second place. Theirs is to get themselves ready for the playoffs. So I don't have, part of it, I want to elaborate because it's been bothering me since it happened. We are all bummed out about it. We are all sad about it. I was at New Year's Eve parties, and of course, everybody comes to me. What would you have done? What is going on? This was dumb. Dan Campbell did this. You know what? These guys came into a game. They wanted to get out of there. They're playing in a hostile environment that's been giving up 40 points a game. They're at 20 right now. Let's beat them 21-20. And don't even look back. Why change it? You know, that, you know, I heard the thing too, Matt, about, oh, he was mad because of the call and he should have sat back and thought, you know what? This is a learning process for all the young guys. This is a learning process for Coach Campbell and his staff. And they're learn from it. Is he going to do the same thing in the playoffs? I don't know, but guess what? Either does the team we're playing against. So they have to prepare for that stuff. You have to prepare every week and waste time on Dan Campbell on, is he going to do a fake punt? Is he going to go for 2 point? Is he going to go for it on fourth down at his 23-yard line with a minute left in that? And you know what? I love it. And keep going, Dan Campbell. The people, it's just frustrating. We are in a situation we haven't been in at 30 years. Live the dream right now. Everything is icing on the cake. That group is not done. He's I-octane. He already said it, and I love it. And you know what? Let's go, Lions. If you guys don't like it, keep your thoughts to yourself on Twitter. It's frustrating. and bask in the glory of Dan Campbell where we're at right now.
Coach, you're cracking me up, man. I love that. And I love the perspective. And I'm going to go back to something here because we've heard a lot of breakdowns, a lot of explanations. And the latest narrative is the NFL saying the Lions practice in deception and gamesmanship. And so NFL's like throwing blame at the Lions for fooling the refs. But I'm sorry. Deception is part of a trick play. And, you know, some have said, well, why did you send three guys over there to report? And here's what nobody's really talking about. Campbell came out and talked a little bit about it, but he's not going to reveal everything. But think about this, okay? You send Sewell and Decker over. Skipper comes in. Everyone's seen Skipper reporting all the time, so everyone's going to presume it's him. But Decker is number 68. Standing next to him is Sewell, number 58. And if you look at the formation, Sewell lines up as a receiver before motioning in and lining up at the line. So even if they had announced it right 68, some of the defenders, it's a loud environment, might have thought they meant 58. They might have been confused on the defense. This was a really intelligent play by the Detroit Lions. And I think people missed that extra level of intelligence. And they practiced it like this on purpose. And so, you know, give credit where credit's due and assess blame where blame is due. Fix it. Own it. Own it. Like I was it Joyce, the umpire with the Andres Galarraga thing. He owned his mistake on that perfect game for the Tigers. You see no owning of the mistake here. So, Coach, I said I think this is a very intelligent play. I think it's super smart, and I don't think that people give it enough credit. Are you kind of seeing what I saw on that, or you see anything different?
Well, I see Sewell and Decker go over there and talk. And then I see, which you can't miss Skipper. He's 6'12". That'd be 7 foot. I know that was funny. And he's running on the field. So everybody's looking at that. You know, we've all played the game. I've been on the sidelines too. The key is identifying whether it's deception or not, the Dallas Cowboys' responsibility is to identify the formation, who is online, who is not online, who is the receiver, who is not the receiver. It's not our job to go out there and have Decker raising his hand and waving and going, I'm the receiver, because that's not the game of football. It's a chess match. And I'm not going to tell you when I'm going to move my pawn or my queen or my king. I'm going to do it when I want to make you look at something so I can come back and checkmate you. Checkmate, Detroit Lions.
Now, the next part is, how does the team respond after all of this? And Coach Campbell talked about getting over the two-point play situation.
I'm good. I woke up yesterday. I'm ready, man. I've got controlled fury, and I'm ready to go. I'm absolutely ready to go. I don't go the other way. So, and the team won't either. We're on a mission, and we're not going to feel sorry for ourselves and Walter and everything. We had plays to make. We didn't make them. And it's a tight game, a good opponent, playoff type atmosphere. And you got to make that one extra play that we didn't. And so we will use this as fuel. I got pure octane right now. I woke up. I'm ready. So we're moving forward.
So, Coach, I mean, right there, what's your reaction to Campbell? He said he's over it. You know, he's already had the fuel. He's pure octane.
Oh, I totally agree. And I mean, these are all rallying points for a team to go into it. Where have we grown as a team? How are we going to respond in the next week? Are we going to sit there and like he said, wail or whine or cry or whatever, and think about these plays all the time? You know, these are things right now that you say, hey, it happened. It's over with. It sucked. Nothing we can do about it. So let's get back to the game and let's right the wrong. You know, whether we were wrong. Again, Jared Goff, Dan Campbell, all said not one play makes a game. We didn't make plays. It's a game of inches. We didn't make plays in certain situations. We have to get better at those plays. Jared Goff has to get better. Dan Campbell has to get better. AG has to, we all have to get, we do that every day as humans. And so I don't have a problem. And I love it. I think it's one of those things that it's brought up to get you excited about it. Like we are right now, like I am right now. But the play is over with. You know, I'm tired of every time I go on Twitter or trying to find any social media, it pops up somewhere. I'm tired. I'm tired of it. We are talking about it today because this is what we do going to the next game. It's going to help the situation. It's going to help the game. And Sunday is going to be a great time. And I am so happy I'm going to be in those stands.
I agree, Coach. It was a great test playing Dallas on the road. And it showed the Lions can play anywhere with anybody. Now, again, it's playoff time. It's got to give you confidence going into the playoffs. I know we've got one more week, but heading into the playoffs, you have to have a lot of confidence as a Lions fan. And another great question was asked at the press conference. And this is important because, let's be honest, if you've been a Lions fan for more than a hot minute, you've lived through some things that, well, it seems like we've lived through these calls, these situations way too long. And Coach Campbell was asked about Lions fans being upset and thinking the NFL has something against the Lions.
Don't do that. Don't do it. I know, I get it, but don't do that. You know, don't buy into that. Don't live in that world, man. That'll just pull you down. And if it makes you feel any better, the NFL's against every team. All right? Because, look, I was in New Orleans, so I know what that feels like. And but you know what? We walked away. Even in that game, we had chances to win. And before all that happened. But that one ended it. That was it, man. We walked away, packed our bags, and left. This one, we got a taste of what that's like, but we still got a chance. You know, we hadn't even started the tournament. So this is, I think it's a blessing. And I would tell fans, don't do it. Don't even believe that. We're just getting started. Honestly, I feel great about it because I, for the most part, until you guys ask me the questions, I'm over it. Like, I don't even want to deal with it. Rod's handling all of it, man. He's got it. And I don't even want to deal with it. You know, I'm done. I'm good. I just want to go, and I want to get ready for Minnesota, and our players will be ready to roll. I know they will.
Coach, Campbell talked about his experience. He stated that the players are going to be ready. He has a specific team put together.
So those are things you just don't buy into it. Because you can't. You can't. If you dwell on the negative, it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt your positives. It's going to hurt you in the game situation. Why waste the energy and time concerned with who is on the field officiating a game when you can waste more, use more of your energy and time to get yourself prepared to not get into a situation where one play matters?
I agree completely. I love Coach Campbell's attitude and perspective. And that's something you shouldn't take for granted because not every coach has that. And a number of people forget that when the Saints were bounced from the playoffs, it was a missed pass interference call. Dan Campbell was with the Saints then. He's lived at other places. And I'm going to say his insane attitude, and I mean that in a good way, it's awesome. And he also talked about how they have built the roster for this. That comes back to something you and I have kind of gone over ad nauseum, if you will, throughout the season, even before the season, about the guys they're putting on this roster and the way they built this team. Now, folks, as we continue, just a reminder to listeners, please, hit that subscribe and like button if you're enjoying this. It's helping us build momentum. We appreciate it. So, Coach, we're putting that to bed right there. We're done talking about the what-ifs ands about that two-point conversion play, and we're going to look towards the Vikings and further on there and maybe how the Lions react from this. But what are we going to expect out of the Vikings, Coach? They are now losers of three straight games. They are technically still alive in the playoff hunt, but they need a ton of help to get there. And so that does give them something to play for, but they're at a 1 o'clock game, and that's part of the NFL strategy, putting them and the Lions in the same category. At the quarterback position, Jaren Hall was quarterback last week, but Nick Mullins came in and played after Hall struggled. And I don't know who we're going to see this week, you know, and it might even be a return of Josh Dobbs. So knowing all of those elements and knowing that we don't know who the quarterback is necessarily, how does that affect things going in for the Lions?
Well, I think it's, you know, we know what they're all about. I mean, we know what they want to do. They got to get, you know, they want to stretch the play, you know, to Justin Jefferson. He's, you know, they threw for over 400 yards against us last time we played them. They're kind of like we were last year. They have an opportunity, a slim chance or a chance of getting into the playoffs. They're going into a hostile environment. They feel that they should have won last week's or the game 2 weeks ago. Which quarterback is going to play? The biggest thing you got to think about too is everybody on that team right now is playing for their job. because this is the end of the season. If they don't get into the playoffs, the guys that want to leave the pro, you know, leave the team, the guys that wanted to stay with the team, they're going to give us and show us their best. They've, you know, they had a tough game last week, you know, which turned on a dime right before halftime. With the strip sack and Green Bay scored with like, you know, a 30 second drive. And so those are things that you have to take into account when you're getting ready for that team. That's why we as the Lions and we as a team need to focus on us. Okay. And not them. We have to focus on us because we are playing after this week and Minnesota may not be. So that's what we're going to see. It should be interesting.
I agree completely on those thoughts. You know, I see a Viking team trying to rebound, but I don't know if they know where their footing is right now. You know, that Green Bay loss is the worst loss they've had in a long time, losing 33-10. Another change from the last game, they're not going to have TJ Hockenson against us because he got injured in that game. So he will not be returning to Ford Field on the field. He was hurt, and he is out for the rest of the season. So let's turn to the Lions because you're right. In this game, we need to focus on us and what we're thinking here. I got to tell you, from the way the Lions played in Dallas, I don't remember the last time the Lions have hit that hard in a game. It felt like the defense was swarming. It felt like something we saw early in the season.
Oh, I agree. I mean, they were – you could see the intensity level. It was playoff level. It was playoff atmosphere. They even said it. They talked about it. That's what they went in there and said. This is all about what we're going to do in the playoffs. We have to turn the heat up. Just like last year at the end of the season when we made those runs. Every week was a playoff week because if you lose, your chances drop from 22% to 12% or whatever, 1%. And so I think that was the biggest thing. And I think they went in there to let everybody know. And, you know, it was – you knew everybody was going to be watching it because it was Monday Night Football on Saturday. And so, you know, that was, I totally agree with you. I thought we were flying around. I thought we did some unbelievable things, especially walking into a place where a team averages 40 points at home and we held them to half.
I agree with those things. I also expect the Lions to play their starters. Now, that's because Dan Campbell said his players will rest when the season's over. And the other thing, though, is right now we're in the 3 seed. And it looks like we're going to be in the 3 seed. But there is that very, very slim outside chance both Dallas and Philly could lose. Those teams play at 4 o'clock that day. And so the Lions are going to play to win this game for multiple reasons. I mean, Dan Campbell plays to win the preseason games because it's a mentality aspect, I think. You could probably speak more to that than I could.
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, I look at, let's go back to his press conference after the game when he was asked by Dave, I think it's Burke, and said, you know, why are you frustrated or whatever? And he was, I don't like the L. He doesn't like the L. Why? You don't want to go into the playoffs with an L. You know, you don't want to go into the playoffs losing at home with an L. You don't want to go in the playoffs. I mean, those are things that you want to go in high. You know, the Ravens and the 49ers, you know, they're number one seed. They're resting anyways. So, again, you don't want to hurt your guys, you know, but it's still a game. It's still a game of football, and it's still, you know, he is so competitive. And we go back to what he built this team like. They are all competitive. They want to win. There's not a guy in that locker room, practice squad or not, that does not want to win this game on Sunday. And I think we're going to see the best of the Detroit Lions on Sunday.
I do as well. You know, if you look at that previous matchup from just 2 weeks ago, the Lions held the Vikings to just 17 yards rushing, and the Lions ran for 143 yards. And so I would love to see both of those trends continue. But before we get to other big storylines, I guess this kind of goes along with it, and you brought it up, as that resting players thing. The 49ers, they've got the 1 seed locked up now based on what happened with Detroit and Philadelphia losing. So they, I think, have already said Christian McCaffrey's a little banged up. So he's going to get rested, it sounds like, plus they have the bye. The Lions are in this weird spot. They want to win the game, but you want to balance that with not playing overtime, right? I mean, I'm not saying they're going to play overtime, but you don't want that extra time for the players on the field. And this could be a situation where maybe if they have a big lead in the third quarter, fourth quarter, maybe you see Teddy Bridgewater come in. Or, you know, how do you think the coach might handle, or how would you handle a situation like this where there's just lots of things in limbo?
Well, I think that's exactly what you said. You get the lead. The biggest thing about the Vikings, we have to get that. We can't let them hang around. We can't, you know, it's just, you can't let a team hang around in a situation where they feel they're going to win. You got to get doubt in their mind. And I'm sure that's what the Detroit Lions are going to go after. They're going to try to get the doubt, you know, get the Vikings doubt in their mind that they can't win this football game. They ran a 6-7 and an 8-man protection last week to give Jaron some time to throw the ball.
Okay.
And I just noticed, you know, that they're trying to get the rookie. He's a rookie, correct? They're trying to get the rookie some time and some underneath his feet to throw the ball. So it'll be interesting to see who they start with that. And are they going to go to that, especially with the way the Lions blitzed last week and put pressure on Dak Prescott. And then you gear back and you run the ball, you know, maybe you just run the ball. Maybe you bring Teddy in. Maybe you don't drop back and pass. Maybe you don't throw any deep shots. Maybe it's all game management. And the game management is when does the game go the quickest? When you're running the football and you're burning some time off the clock. And so, you know, you're going to see all those different things. They're going to make decisions as that game goes along. But the key is, again, we'll go back to it. We have to do what we do and get to a point to where we can make the decisions and not to a 50-50 call or not to a 50-50 play like, oh, my God, we got to get this first down to ice the game. You know, we have to get it to a situation where we have total control over this football game. So we have total control over what we do with the players.
I love that. I agree. And the part I like the most, what you said, is simply get out to a big lead and bury this thing. Let's put this thing away early and put it in our hands so we can be the ones that make the decision and whatnot. And so that would be key to controlling the narrative of the Week 18 game. And there's more roster moves. Now, Coach, we've been talking about this, and there's been a flurry of moves. We said there's going to be, you've brought that up, and we started seeing it last week with Trevor Nowoski, Chase Lucas, and Jason Kabinda all being waived. Now, Nowoski was claimed by Arizona. Lucas went unclaimed, so he signed back with the practice squad. And apparently, Kabinda cleared waivers, and he might be signing back with the Lions. We'll see about that. And at his presser, Coach Dan Campbell talked about CJ Gardner-Johnson, or CD Deuce, coming back, and he's likely playing this week, it sounds like. And Aleem McNeil, good chance we're going to see him again this week as well. Now, for those guys to be activated and put on that roster, the team needs to make space. And that leads us to some of the biggest news of the day. And that biggest news is Isaiah Bugs is leaving the Detroit Lions. Now, Bugs first posted about it on Twitter and followed up with another post. A big surprise here. But, Coach, let's talk about these activities for a moment. The shuffling at the lower end of the roster, that's something that happens every year throughout the season for teams. You know, we've kept a closer eye on that, especially with Trevor and your Saginaw Valley State connection. What's that like for a team?
Oh, it's tough. I mean, it's, you know, everybody, you know, they're losing their brother, they're losing their teammate, you know, but they go through it. You think about it, they go through it when they graduate from college, man. They were with those guys for 4 or 5 years as teammates. And then all of a sudden, you know, now you're into a new ordeal, which is in the NFL, but now you're getting paid. And so it becomes that job concept. So, you know, I think that the locker room is sad. The locker room is bummed out. The locker room is like, oh, I can't believe they got rid of that guy, or that's my boy, or man, I reach out to him, I love him. And, you know, but I think when it all said and done, it's going to hurt it for that instance, you know, that immediate reaction is, oh my God. But after, you know, I believe after a few hours, days, whatever, you know, they're going to move on and take care of at hand. You know, they know that they have something in front of them that's more important. And they're still going to be boys. They're still going to be brothers. You know, they're still going to talk all the time. So, you know, it's sad. You know, Trevor, I know, was a big one last week. And you know, I spoke with his dad and stuff about that too. And, you know, that was tough, man. It was his hometown team. And, you know, him and Campbell are boys. And Laporta, they all came in together. But, you know, when it's all said and done, they understand they have a job to take care of and win football games.
Well, those are some great perspectives there, especially because the fan perspective is different than the coach and the player perspective, as far as one's going, they're going to work to get paid, where the fan is watching and rooting on the team. And so you can see how the perspective's different. The Bugs move, though, that's a little different because That's a name that more average fans are familiar with. They don't always know the third or fourth guy down the roster, but most fans know about Isaiah Buggs. In fact, the Lions gave him a two-year, $4.5 million contract this offseason, and a lot of us thought that was pretty big because he came in and really helped the run defense last year. And so what do you make of this move? Are you surprised by it?
Oh, I was surprised. I mean, but, you know, you're always surprised by those things. You know, like we were talking earlier, I was talking to somebody earlier about it. They're like, oh, my God, I can't believe you got rid of Buggs. And, you know, I just loved him because I thought he was a team player. Even when things were down at the beginning of the year, when he came out with, you know, he had said something about sometimes change, people change, whatever. Everybody, of course, assumed it was the Lions. And, you know, we don't know what it is. But he always was professional in that aspect. So, you know, and again, if he's not getting the job done and there's guys, again, you go back to the business part, there's guys, you know, in the building that are younger and stuff like that, maybe getting some things done with a little bit more energy, you're going to lose a guy like Buggs. You know, even the one thing you look at it, the big thing you look at it is you're going, dang, our roster's getting pretty big because, as you said, that not the average fan knows who Buggs is, and you're kind of going, oh, my God, I can't believe they got rid of Buggs. What'd he do? What happened? Maybe it's just the people around him are getting better, and that's just a great sign for the Detroit Lions. And we will miss them, that's for sure.
He brought a nice fire to help light some of those things last year and appreciated everything he gave to this team and to this city. And you're right, you know, the Lions in such a competitive spot that they're in, they need to shuffle not just players, but positional depth as well, because, you know, Aleem McNeil's coming back. You need to make room for him, right? We've got another defensive back coming back. There's going to be room that's needed to be made. And so depending on the depth at one position, you could see them carrying one less person at another. And we all know Hendon Hooker is not going to play this year, but they want him on the active roster so they can develop him and work with him. So that also affects some of the depth.
Yeah, that's for sure. You know, that's that third quarterback concept, but also it's somebody that's, you know, missed the whole year and get every opportunity. That's, you know, we even talked about it earlier today. We got that extra game, and then you get an extra game, and then you get an extra game, and now all of a sudden you got a third of a season more under your belt. Man, is that going to help these young guys? But we'll get through this week first, of course.
Coach, you talked about how that's the business side of football, of players coming and going, but you brought it up to me. We kind of saw the way this affects the coaches and the human nature of Dan Campbell.
Oh, yeah. When we can talk about going back to Hard Knocks. I mean, that's the hardest part every time. Every one of those coaches talk about that when they have to bring them in. And we watch Dan Campbell just about crying every time he had to bring a guy in his office to release him, you know, or even the, you know, so the emotional part's hard because, you know, you put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into those guys and they've done the same for you. And then all of a sudden you tell them, hey, sorry, dude, you got to move on. So I feel bad from both parties, but I feel good because of the Lions' growth.
Great points, Coach. And of course, we know there's going to be more moves with the roster, the active position, the practice squad, and we'll keep our eye on those as well.
Yep, for sure. And love seeing the juggling, long as it's not because of people getting injured, but because of people coming back off the IR.
And if we're looking at the roster, this is for healthy guys, is Jamison Williams was banged up on that 63-yard play. Amazing play by him and Goff. It sounds like he's day-to-day, according to Campbell, so nothing too serious, and it's good he was able to walk off the field and stuff like that. And Sam Laporta looked a little banged up, and he was asked, Coach Campbell was, and he said Laporta's going to be fine. So those are some good news right there. Any thoughts on the roster right now?
No, I think that's great that we're getting to a situation where these guys are coming back healthy. And we're getting these extra bodies back, guys that we were, when we went into the season, you know, we established that this is going to be a starter. This guy's going to do this for us. Guy, we can't wait for this guy to grow. That also will play into this game, because if you do get those guys back and they play, they're going to be ignited. They're going to be high octane, as Coach would say, you know, they're going to bring the rest of the team up. Because, you know, again, let's go back to that playing with those guys playing and playing at 100%, knock on wood, the possibility, a knock on wood, again, I hate to keep saying it's a possibility of injuries are less. The possibilities of an injury are more if you're not totally focused on what's in front of you at that time. Be where your feet are, boys. And that's what Coach Campbell is talking about.
That makes sense. Now, Coach, I got to ask you here. Is there some benefit to getting CJ, GJ, and McNeil reps in this game so that they're playing in the game the week before the playoff game?
I think so. McNeil is probably not as much as CJ because he's been out, you know, Deucey, whatever we're going to call him, the man, the mouth, you know, the guy can talk. It's huge for him. It's huge for him because that is that situation where you get back in and there's not a doubt when you go into the playoff game. You know, you have to get those feet. You know, those guys are professionals. They've done this for the, you know, 18 years, 20, whatever, you know, and so those are situations, but you still want to get in there and get your feet wet. You still want to get in there and crack those pads a couple times. You know, it's not practice. It's under the lights in front of all that crowd with everybody cheering. So I think it's beneficial. Again, you can't really put a play on it, how many plays or how many they do or how many they don't or whatever. But I think it's just beneficial, especially with the communication on defense.
Getting him back in there and just, you know, maybe even getting a look at some new packages, because I think you might see some dime packages developed in some certain situations. And we might not see those on the field because they might want to hide those packages for the playoffs. But another big storyline coming out of this last game is how fired up the Lions are going to be, how much of a chip on their shoulder they have going forward because of what happened to them. Coach, I've studied the game, but you've lived the game. So tell me, do things like this really matter as much as some people think they might? Or is it just a bunch of rhetoric?
Well, I think it's fuel. Coach Campbell said it. The players are going to say it too. It's fuel. It's here. The thing is, there's so many factors right now. The last home game of the regular season. I think we have another home game after that. Playing the Minnesota Vikings, you know, a rival, part of our division, coming back from a tough loss and setting the tone for how the playoffs are going to be. It all adds in. It's not just one. Again, it's like not one play loses a game. You know, not one motivation motivates a game. It's a whole bunch of motivation part. And in a coaching standpoint, it's awesome because you can always point out some of the negatives so that they turn into positives on Sunday game day.
Awesome. Thank you for that. I've gotten a few questions about the playoffs. I just want to kind of go over some stuff here. And the Lions are hosting a round one game. That is happening no matter what, whether they're the 3 seed or the 2 seed. if the Rams win, and it's likely the Rams will win based on, you know, the 49ers having home field locked up, resting McCaffrey and whatnot. So it's likely there's a good chance. If they win, the Lions would likely play the Rams. But if the Rams were to lose and the Packers were to win, it's likely the Lions would host the Packers. And again, the Lions likely have that 3 seed, but if Dallas and Philly both lose, then the Lions could get back to the 2 seed, but that isn't likely. Now, I'm going to throw a prediction out here that if the Lions end up facing the Rams, I'm going to predict the NFL puts that game on Monday Night Football, week one of the playoffs, because you've got Stafford returning to Ford Field. You have Goff facing McVay. Oh, Brad Holmes, the general manager, used to be working with the Rams organization. And heck, you know what? The Lions have done so well in primetime, the NFL might just put them there anyway based on how popular they appear.
Oh, yeah. I think, you know, and I think you might be correct on that. You know, I'd rather play the Sunday game because that, you know, the Monday's one last day of rest. The NFL is going to do what they can do to make as much money as possible. The networks are going to do what they do to make as much money as possible. The Lions, again, they're going to do what they need to do to win a football game. Doesn't matter who comes to town. They're going to focus on that. They're going to stay. This last game helps us with that narrative because of all of the publicity about the, and again, we didn't want to talk about the call again, but the call being, and all the news media is talking about it and all the, you know, Rex Ryan going ballistic over it. And Ryan Clark, unbelievable. He did after the game and SVP. So they're all going to use that. But you know what? Dan Campbell's got those guys worried about inside that building. He does it. They're not going to watch. Yeah, they're going to peek at it. They're going to look at it. And so, you know, it doesn't matter from that standpoint. You know, it's just they're going to say, all right, what are the Lions going to say? Hey, we had great. We got an extra day of rest. You know, they're not even going to talk about who it is. You know, yeah, you know, there's going to be a little bit, but Dan Campbell and the staff are going to hush that up. And I think so will the veterans like Deuce and like Teddy Bridgewater, guys that have been in this situation before. They're the ones that are going to go, listen, forget that. we have to get ready for a game. So look forward to whoever we play. That's for sure.
That's exactly it. And, you know, I don't want the Monday night game either, just for that same reason. I want one more day between the first round and the potential second round. And there's still a chance Seattle could qualify. They lost, which really hurt their chances. But if Green Bay falters, Seattle could still get in on this thing as well. As we go into this final week, I want to just reflect on a few guys who have done amazing things for the Lions this year. And I want to just start with Amon-Ra St. Brown, because I don't know if people, I mean, we talk about how great he is, but I just want to throw some numbers out. In his rookie year, he had 90 catches for 900 yards and 5 touchdowns. Last year, he went up to 106 with 1,100 yards and 6 touchdowns. And this year, he has 112 catches for over 1,300 yards and 9 touchdowns. And the season's not over yet. And he's actually played in fewer games this year than he has in either of the other two seasons. And so just the continued upward trend of Amon-Ra St. Brown is just incredible. And it shows you what he means to this offense. It's amazing. The other guys I want to point out, I want to point out David Montgomery and give this guy some props, because we brought him over from Chicago. And he is averaging 4.7 yards a carry. He has never averaged that much in his career. His career high was 4.3 in his second season. And he might not get as many yards rushing as that year because he played in more games and had more carries. But he's right around that 1,000-yard mark. And he's actually only 25 yards away from it. And then if you add in the two rookies, Sam Laporta and Jahmyr Gibbs, I mean, Laporta's got 81 catches, 860 yards, and 9 touchdowns. And then Gibbs is over 900 yards rushing with 9 touchdowns himself. Those four players, any team would love to have them. And I'm so thankful and appreciative. And it shows the mastermind plan of Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell.
Well, I totally agree with you. I mean, let's look at just the running back things. You know, just by what those guys split in times, basically 50-50, you know, 51-49, whatever it is, they're not getting beat up. And I think those are the biggest thing. St. Brown is such a great receiver that he doesn't get beat up because he knows when to get down. He knows when to run. He knows when to jump back. He doesn't knock on wood. He doesn't get any hits on him. And then, of course, Laporta is just coming into his own day in and day out. You know, I'm going to give a shout out to Laporta. He was having a rough first quarter last week. We all know that.
Yeah.
Yet he came back, you know, missed a couple blocks. I think he had a drop. It's part of the game. But, man, was he big in that last drive. He had a couple big trap blocks for big run plays. And just his how he's growing. And that just tells you what this Lions organization is doing with players, is it's keeping them healthy. It's teaching them the game of football, and it's making them thick-skinned, man. They just let whatever goes against them roll off and say, okay, you know, Jared Goff throws an interception, you know, outside the two-minute mark. What did I text you back? I remember I texted you. I said, I hope we get the ball back, because I knew Jared Goff would be mad about that, but he let it roll off, and he drove us down for the touchdown. Let's leave it at that. And so that's just, I just love it. Those are great shout outs, dude. And again, we can go through the 53 man roster, but those are great shout outs.
Exactly. We can go so much deeper. And if I just stay on, you know, obviously the offensive line, let's shout out every single player there. Jamison Williams, we're starting to see an ascension right there. And yeah, you're right. We could go throughout the whole roster and we'll have time for that later. But you're absolutely right. And Jared Goff doesn't get nearly as enough praise as he should. But coach, we're coming back home. Ford Field, last home regular season game. What are you expecting out of this stadium?
Oh, the stadium's going to be crazy. Again, I think week in and week out, they try to break that decibel record, and I just think you're going to have that. I think it's the energy level, not only because it's a home game and it's against the Vikings, but it's the energy level knowing that that same crowd is going to be back next week watching another game. You know, we're not just playing one game in the month of January. We have two for sure, and we may see three. You know, again, we're not sure if we're going to see him there, but so I just think the crowd is going to be totally awesome. And I think they're going to want to help us finish this season off right.
Yeah, I kind of look at that as well. It's going to be a great way to end the season at home for the regular season and then head to our home playoff game. Let's get into prediction time. I want to throw some predictions out I put before the season started. I said the Lions would be 11-6 this season. At the bye week, I moved them to 12-5. So I'm only going to brag about the things I get right because that's what we do in life. I also said Green Bay, Minnesota, and Chicago would all finish within two games of each other. And right now, with one game to go, they are one game apart. So no, I did not put any money on this. It's just pure knowledge out there. Did not bet on it at all. But I just want to take a moment here and just kind of celebrate that. As far as the game goes, again, I like what you said. I want to see the Lions pound the ball. I want to see them get some guys back in their rotation, get the running game going, and put the game away early. That's what I'm looking for. How about you?
For sure. I'm looking for the Lions to come out because it's a new game. It's a new week. It's a new Sunday. And I want to, you know, I want to see that, which see them to come out and show that nothing fazes them, no matter what happens the previous minute or the previous day or the previous play. And I think that's one of the biggest things we're going to see. And I'm looking forward to seeing that part going, man, these guys are fueled up. These guys are high octane. These guys are ready to go. And, you know, I will make one prediction. We do have another home game after this week.
Sounds great, Coach. Thanks so much for joining us. And I look forward to seeing you at Ford Field on Sunday.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
Thank you so much for tuning in, folks. You can find all the episodes at notthesameoldlions.com. If you're listening on YouTube, please hit that like button. While you're at it, tell your friends about the show. Please subscribe regardless of your listening platform. Until next time, stay gritty, my friends.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.